My microphone all the way on today. Last week I just had it on standby. All right, guys, we're going to be looking in the book of Colossians today. We're preparing for Christmas. And the book of Colossians has something very wonderful to tell us about that Savior who came. And I was reading through this earlier in the week and just really blessed my heart. I want to share it with you and want us to just be thinking about it. As I read this, it just brought something to mind. There's a word in this area of Scripture that we don't use a whole lot. And I'd like to kind of let that be sort of our focus today. So as you open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, if you like to follow along in the Bible, you can be doing that. And we'll be looking at the title of today's message, because this is going to be kind of like the question in our hearts as we go. Wrong one, guys. Maybe it didn't get saved on there. All right. If we don't get it up on the board, you can just go off the paper you got. Preeminent or prominent? That's going to be the question today. Preeminent or prominent? This reminded me of a sermon that I heard once, and that just really stuck in my mind, because a lot of times we don't think about the meanings of words a lot, but this word, preeminent, has huge implications in our life whenever it comes to Christ. So I really want to focus in on that just a little bit here. We're going to be looking at the scripture passage from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Man, I mean, we could start at verse 1 and just read all the way through, because it's just all just so awesome as we look at this. But I really want to focus in from verse 15 on down. He, being Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Okay, guys, that idea of being firstborn doesn't mean that he didn't exist and then all of a sudden God created him and then he existed. The word firstborn there talks about his position. That by being him first, being the firstborn, he has all the rights and all the inheritance and all the authority. He is it. He's got it. Okay? Everything is going to be given to him. He has the inheritance. And guess what? This is the cool part. For all who come after him, he wants to share it with us. Isn't that amazing? And so as we see and we think about this little babe in the manger, we want to realize who this little babe is. He's not in the manger anymore, but we think about him in those terms because it's so beautiful and it's so awesome. Guys, even at that moment, this is who he is. This is who he is. He is the image of the invisible God. Okay? He is the firstborn over all creation. For by him, listen to this, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So, what has he created? All things. Everything that naturally occurs on this earth, even how the kingdoms and the powers and the authorities are set up. You know who's behind all that? Jesus. He's got a purpose in all of it. And he's carrying out his purposes in every bit of it. He goes on in verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. How many things? All things. How many times has it said it? I think it's trying to get it through us. Okay? It means all things. We continue on. And he is the head of the body, the church. And I think this is mentioned kind of last in this list, because this may be like the most important thing. He needs to be the head of us. Okay? At least on my body, my head does most of the thinking. Right? Not all. Sometimes my stomach's doing part of it. But the important stuff is being planned out by the head, and that's the important thing. That's the part that we need to be listening to. Whenever my head is doing the thinking, you know, my body is usually doing is safer. Okay? You ever go out and do something when your head ain't doing the thinking? You letting other stuff do your thinking? What happens? Disaster. You get in trouble. We make big mistakes. If my stomach does all the thinking, what's going to happen? I'm going to eat everything and I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to make unwise decisions. And we can think about other parts of our of our being, you know, if my emotions do all my thinking and control my actions, what's going to happen? Emotions are good things, right? In the right place. But if my emotions do all of my thinking, I'm in trouble. Guys, I tell you, if the church don't let Jesus do the thinking, we're in trouble. You see, He is the above all, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. There's that word, preeminence. Huge word. Means something. We need to let it soak in. We're going to talk about it. We're going to read the rest of that passage in a little bit, but let's just stop there and let's think about this. So, Jesus takes a particular position in all the world. Okay? And in that Colossians 1, 15 through 17, it tells us what His position is. He's absolutely the head. He's the top. You see, He's not just one that we should be consulting from time to time when we make an important decision. He needs to be the one making all the decisions. Because He's head over everything, and so we need to be going to our head at all times. He is, again, we'll read 15 through 17. Let's soak in a little bit more. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth. Let's read those off your page. Okay, verse 16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Isn't that just an amazing passage of Scripture? Doesn't it just capture your heart that even at the time that He was this little bitty babe, that His mother was taking care of Him, He already had this position? I think it's awesome. And it was perfected, brought to completion through the cross, is what the rest of this passage will wind up kind of telling us. But guys, let me tell you something. He don't just want to be your co-pilot. He's your pilot, or He's nothing in your life. He doesn't want to set second seat and have you consult Him from time to time. He is the one that needs to be giving us full direction. Can He do it? Absolutely. Because, look, guys, He's the one who sets up the everything, the dominions and principalities and powers. You know, whenever we find ourselves complaining against the way things are set up, you're not just complaining about people there. We better be careful. We wind up finding ourselves opposing God. Now, I'm not saying that everything in this world's perfect as it is. No, we have battles. Just like Brother Harold's song, I just appreciated the song so much. That one thing just really stuck in my mind. Why do we have problems? To see that He can solve them. Why does He allow us to have some of the bad leadership? Because we've actually asked for it. Why does some of that bad leadership need to happen? So He can teach us something, give us a hunger for Him. If our life was perfect, we'd never want to go to heaven. We're looking towards something better. And He's training us through all this to depend on Him. So now, you know, we think about this in verse 18, this next verse, and let's read it together. It's on your page as well. And He is the head. Let's say that. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Wow! All things, not just some things. Do you know, a lot of times it's said about your finances, God owns the tithe and I own the rest. That ain't what this says. This says He has preeminence over everything. That includes all your finances. Okay? He asked for the tithe first. That's the starting point. Now He wants to see how He can build His kingdom through the rest of it too, because it all belongs to Him. It's all His. So He's preeminent in our lives, and we need to willingly give Him that place. Okay? If we don't, what we're doing is struggling against Him. So let's just explore that word just a little bit, that word preeminent versus the word prominent. Preeminent means of the highest place. It's a positional term. It means He's king. Okay, whenever it says, if you confess Lord Jesus, What that's really meaning is you're confessing him to be your king and to take preeminence of your life. Okay, preeminence means he's the highest position. What's the very first commandment? Can anybody tell me? Ten Commandments? Rachel? Mm-hmm. Yes, we shouldn't serve any other gods, only God, right? It's, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay? And I'm telling you, the way we live in life today, it's like we've got a whole bunch of other gods, and we say, well, as long as I pretty much put Jesus at the top of all the gods, we're okay. No, whenever it says before me, that ain't in line. That means anywhere in his presence. Anywhere in his presence. You see, he doesn't want us to have any other gods in our life at all. And that includes the God of self. So he wants to have preeminence here. Preeminence means of highest place. And what it kind of how it plays out in our life there is you look at your page, he calls all the shots in my life. That's what it kind of equates out to in my life, okay? All the shots. I'm his, I belong to him, he's the highest, and I'm going to do what he says, not what I want, okay? Big difference, all right? Now, if we do that kind of in comparison to prominent, the word prominent means conspicuous or noticeable, okay? Conspicuous. Conspicuous or normal. Or noticeable, conspicuous or noticeable. So it's kind of like, did you ever find that you had your shirt on inside out? You didn't mean to. Okay, or you got out in public and you realized it was on backwards. You know, you look down, you can see the tag hanging out or something like that. I could go to some more embarrassing ones, like your pants unzipped, or you know, you get what I'm saying. You all of a sudden you feel real conspicuous, just like oof, you know. Everybody's going to notice that flaw, right? Well, for some of us as Christians, we're kind of wanting everybody to notice that we kind of care about Jesus. You know, and we'll talk about him a little bit, and we even kind of want him to notice that we kind of smell like a Christian or look like a Christian, but the question is, if that's all we're really shooting for, what we're really looking for sometimes in that being prominent in our life is we're just wanting him to make our life a little better. Okay, we're wanting him to make it a little better, but I still want to call all my own shots. And I'll tell you, that's what we see as a reflection of a lot of people that call themselves Christians today. They say, you know, well, about a given activity or something they might be involved with, well, I'll pray about that. But in reality, a lot of times, let's face it, we just really don't want to do it. And what we pray is, God, if you want me to do this, make me do it. And God ain't going to do that because that ain't how he works. You see, what we really need to be asking is, God, is this really what you want me to be about before we ever even give an answer or have an opinion about it? And just ask him. And you know, he can lead us to some stuff. I can tell you, this would have never been where I would have wanted to have been standing anywhere in my life before God showed me that this is what he wanted me to do. And this isn't what he's going to lead everybody to do. He only calls some to this position, others to other positions, but we're all called to a position. And you see, that position is to be under his headship and his leadership with him preeminent and him telling us what he wants us to be doing, him calling the shots. So let's not just want him to be conspicuous or noticeable in our life. Let's let him be preeminent in our life. Let's let him be of the highest place. So whenever we look at Colossians 1, 19 through 23, we're going to see just a little bit more. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who were once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. You see, this was the plan when that babe was in the manger. This was already the plan while Jesus was even still back. Still in heaven before he ever came to that manger. This was the plan in the Garden of Eden whenever man created, it just disobeyed the first time, the first sin, and God covered him with that animal skin. This was the plan. Amen. Jesus is the plan. In verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death is the way he reconciled us to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. This is his desire for us, church. But we got to read the next line. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So here's the thing, guys. This is the promise to all of us when Christ is preeminent in our life. Let Christ be preeminent in your life. Even when you think of Him as a little babe in the manger, just think, even then, He was King of the universe. So much more after He lived a perfect life, died on the cross, paid for our sins, and went back to heaven. Let Him be preeminent in our lives. Here's a question I got for you. Has Christ ever asked you to do anything just so it would hurt you? He wouldn't give His life on the cross for us and then turn around the next day and do something to hurt us. That's not His way. You see, whatever the trial we may be going through, no matter what it is He's asking us to do, it's going to be for our good. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work to the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We know all things. All things. Even those times when we have to suffer. It's all part of the deal. He's refining in us a better patience, something that's more complete in us. Guys, let Jesus be preeminent in your lives today. What a blessing to know He has called us to such an amazing calling. Amen? He's got such a good plan. Do you know He wants to use you and me to take this message to the rest of the world? Isn't that an awesome thought? You are called. You have been justified just as if you've never sinned. You have been purified as you've confessed your sin, given it to Him. You have been fit, and you're being fit through your training to take this gospel to your neighbors, your family, to the rest of the world. One person at a time. See, this is never something that I think is meant to be done in a numbers game to show how many and how. No, it really is a one-on-one thing. I'm going to tell you, even if you're preaching to a crowd and you have 120 people come forward, those are 120 individuals that were individually touched with that message that day. They have names, they have a soul, and that soul is going to be in heaven, and as much as is possible with us, we need to connect with every one person God will allow us to connect with to give this gospel to them. And God will give you the words to say at the right time. You just need to let Him be preeminent and be prepared through Him and the Holy Spirit for what you need that day, and He'll do it. So let's pray that He'll do it for us today. Amen. Dear Father, we come to You today and we just ask that You would help us, Lord, in our human being. Human beings, we're referred to in the Bible as the sheep of Your pasture. Sheep can be very stubborn animals. We're dirty and we stink sometimes. But You're cleaning us up and You're preparing us to do what You've called us to do. There's none of us that are better than our neighbor. The only difference is You have cleansed us through Your precious, precious blood. And so help us, Lord, to allow Jesus to be truly preeminent in our lives, not just prominent. Let us not shoot for You just kind of being noticeable in our life. Let us really strive to let You be the boss in our life. Boss of our life, boss of this church, boss of the lives of the people, everyone who is called by Your name, the head of the church, the thinking part, the one who calls the shots. And Lord, all that really requires is for us to be obedient and to allow You to lead. We'll step out of the way of trying to force our way, and we're going to let You do it. We're going to let You show us how, and then we're going to do what doors You open for us. So Lord, help us to be attentive to Your voice. Help us to be connected with You in every way. Help us to say, yes, Lord. You are the King. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody here that hasn't confessed their sins to you and really surrendered their life to you as Lord and Savior, that's exactly what it looks like, is admitting I'm a sinner and I can't save myself, but I confess Jesus is my Lord and I turn my life over to Him today. And Lord, we need to renew that commitment every day of our life. Help us to walk with You. Be preeminent in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand and sing. If anybody has a burden on their heart or anything they need to bring up here, the altar's open, and I'd be happy to pray with you as well. So let's go to Jesus with our problems. Let's ask Jesus to lead us.
Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in Thy presence, humbly I bow. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is Thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in Thy presence, humbly I bow. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is Thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
To remember to be in prayer for Bonnie, as I don't know if y'all got the information, some of you over the prayer chain, that some of her tests showed that they needed to do a lymphectomy, I believe, of at least part of her lymph nodes or whatever. So it's going to be a procedure, a surgery that they're going to be doing pretty soon. And we're not exactly sure what the date will be. And so I'd like to have a word of prayer for her right now, if we could. If Bonnie wouldn't mind, you kind of step out there in the middle and we'll have everybody gather around you again. Just lay hands on you and pray for you. We don't do this to single you out, you know that. But we just love you and we believe what the Scripture talks about. And so let us just pray over you right now. Dear Father, we want to lift Bonnie up to you. We thank you for her, Lord. Thank you for her sweet spirit, her faith in you, Lord. And I can tell that her faith, it may be being tested right now, but it's coming out. Lord, it's passing the test. that she is desiring, Lord, for you to be glorified in this. And she's hanging in there. She's believing you, that you are in control. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll just calm her spirit whenever it gets anxious, and just continue to bless her, Lord, in this time with even just complete healing, Lord. And we did pray before that, it's before she went into the last procedure, that if there was anything there that you desired the doctors to help her out with, that they would see it. But Lord, we know that even now you can just completely heal her. That whenever they go in there to check this this lymph system, Lord, that they could find nothing, Lord, if you would just touch her. God, we just pray that you will. We love Bonnie. We thank you for her commitment to you, her service to her family. And Lord, we just believe that you want to bring yourself glory through this. We know it. And so, Lord, we lift her up to you. We pray for her healing in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you, Bonnie. You know, God does still heal, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We've seen it happen before. Absolutely.